As you live life, you realize, nope, same troubles will face you today, but I thank God for a new day. You know, we're to rejoice in new days. His mercies are new every day. I love being around Pastor Charles because he talks about the blessings of God. As a man who walked with him all of his life and served him faithfully for 45 years and experienced a lot in life, talks about how good God is. Isn't it great to have someone who's willing to just pray his blessings over us? Well, that's our Father in heaven. Got a new day for you, new things to discover. And as you live life, the hard thing to do is to embrace those new things in life because we want to stay in the old, or we want to stay in the mundane, or we want to stay in what's comfortable to us. But that's not how God operates. He wants to bring us into the new things that he wants to do for us. I like new shoes. You know, I like new things. You know, I do like them. Sometimes I like new shirts. You know, I like them so much. I used to not even wear them. I liked them so much. And I went, this is crazy. I got to start wearing the new because I didn't want to mess them up. A little bit particular in my personality. But sometimes when it comes to life changes, I don't always like the new things. Because it means that I've got to change. And I've got to adjust, and I've got to get out of my routine and my comfort to embrace it. And so, as we talk about embracing the new things that God wants to do in us and through us as a church, we have to be willing to kind of change a little bit. And that's a good thing. At first, it might feel a little bit uncomfortable. Roles might change a little bit, maybe not, but hey, that's okay. Because I'd rather embrace what God's doing today and walk in it and trust that he's taking us to the new things and the new levels that he wants to bring us than staying where I was before. Yesterday seemed all my troubles were so far away. No, they weren't. I tend to be very nostalgic, and times I get deceived in looking back and thinking, man, that was such a great time. No, it wasn't. I loved the 80s. I loved high school. If it was up to me, I know there's Christian music in heaven, but if there's any other kind of music, I know it's 80s music. It's got to be 80s music. Hey, I love the flyback hairstyle, you know, where hair was way up here and the mullet in the back with the hair down to the shoulders. I like that, believe it or not. I like the short shorts of the 80s, you know. I liked basketball shorts, you know, about right here. I got to college and the shorts got down to my knees and I freaked out. I'm like, what's this touching my knees running down the court? I used to roll up them, you know, and pull them up. And, you know, people just was like, what is that white guy doing? My teammates were like, man, stay away from me. You're embarrassing me the way you look. I'm like, man, why are these shorts so long? And I tend to at times look back and go, those were the greatest days of my life. And I go, wait, no, they weren't. I wasn't serving Jesus. I had a lot of sin in my life. I was messed up. You know, the devil wants us to look back and think, oh, that's where we're supposed to go. I'll show you in Scripture. The Israelites leave Egypt, leave sin, leave bondage, leave slavery, leave all that. They go through the desert. They go through change, right? And God has something better for them in the future, right? The promised land. And what, in the middle of change and transition, where do their hearts end up? They want to go back to slavery and bondage. Complain, grumble. I mean, it's amazing the sinful human nature, how it just wants to go back to the old things. And God wants to bring us into the new things. It's a new season. It's a new day. And Pastor Charles and I are very excited about it. We're having so much fun discovering all the new things that God wants to do. I've loved building a relationship with this man. As I've said before, it's been a real void in my life from when my father died a couple years ago and the relationship I had with him. And God knew the hurting of my own soul and the loneliness that left in life. And to bring a man that I could trust, that I know has my best interest in his heart, to labor with and plow with and do life with, it's been such a joy. It's been such a joy. And I want you to know, you know, Jesus said that he was in a conversation in John chapter 14 with Philip one time, and Philip You know, disciples, they give me hope because they were kind of slow to catch on to what Jesus was talking about at times. And he's in a conversation with Jesus, and it's in the chapter where Jesus reveals, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And they were kind of, I guess, maybe looking for programs or looking for a system he would set up or something. And Jesus said, Philip, it's me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He was, tell me more about God. Tell me more about the Father. He says, it's when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that's the commitment we've made to one another. It's when you've seen Pastor Ron, you've seen Pastor Charles. He's better looking. I'm okay with that. But when you've seen me, you've seen him. And I feel like it's such a privilege to be able to model in a father-son type relationship what ministry is all about. Do you know the gospel, when it's all said and done, do you know what it's about? It's about a father revealing a son. Look at my son. Look at my son, a father. Hey, if you want to brag about your children, call me. I'll listen as long as you want to brag. I love to hear parents brag about their children. Rejoice over them. I love to, man, I love. You'll get a like for me. Post your child on Facebook, you'll get a like for me. I love seeing Gatlin's boy grow up. And what do you have, a big Mountain Dew container on his head? What a great picture that was. You know, a carton of Mountain Dew that you get? He had one on his head, and they posted on Facebook. It was so cute. I had to go, I like that. It's a father revealing a son. Hey, look at my son. When you've seen him, you've seen me. It's a son revealing the father. Hey, I live to honor. I live to bring glory to this father. It's what I live for. See, as a young man, there's only one thing I ever wanted to do in life. I wanted to please my father. I wanted to please him. And every time I went to class, every time I worked hard, every time I thought about doing well in my sports activities, when I thought about representing his name as junior, I just said, I want Dad, when it's all said and done, to be pleased with me. I want to bring him glory. I want to bring him honor. And you know what kept me out of trouble so much in life was this, that it just felt good when I was around my father to know that he was pleased with me. It felt good to know that when people met me, they would go back to my dad and said, I met your son. I think highly of him. That's what the gospel is all about. It's a father and a son relationship. And that's why we're so passionate about the generational value that's been so lost in our nation today. It's the older generation living in such a way to sacrifice for the younger generation. It's what made our nation great. And it's the younger generation honoring the older generation, saying, I need you in my life. I don't want to run from you. I don't want to separate from you. I don't want to look down upon you as your hair gets grayer. I want to honor that and respect that and learn from that. And when those two things come together in life, posterity, it's called. Posterity is a value. Read Psalms about the generations and the blessing. God says it's there, and it's only there that I command the blessing. It's an understanding of that that makes it powerful. And so this is more than just two churches coming together. This is generations coming together. This is God saying, I'm doing something new. I'm modeling something that I've always desired to model. A people of all ethnicities and all generations in the divided city of Tallahassee. The abandoned fields of Tallahassee. Tallahassee, Native American name meaning abandoned fields. That's the curse. God says, no, it's going to be a place of abundance. Abundant harvest. And I'm going to bring together different ethnicities and different generations, and I'm going to put them together in my house, and I'm going to build something. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. That was my introduction. We love you so much, like I said, like two proud papas. We just sit around during the week, and we talk about how much we love our church. We're not talking about the carpet. We're not talking about the color of the chairs. We're talking about the people. Love our people. Sometimes our people drive us crazy. We love our people. I love my boys. I would die for my boys. I would die for them. They drive me crazy sometimes. But I love them. They're mine. You're ours. And we value it. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples as they walked with him that life's all about relationships. It's all about loving God and loving people. And really, if they could figure that out, if they could get that revelation in their heart, man, they would have received everything. That was the big idea of Scripture. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and all the prophets and all the traditions and all the sacrifices were trying to teach people that point. It was the first and greatest commandment, and the second was just like it. It's what life was all about. And so as they were walking with Jesus, sometimes they get caught up in the activity. And they'd get caught up as guys do when they get together. They get caught up kind of on their positions. Oh, man, what's in this for me? Are you with me? Are you following me? And Jesus along the way, he knew it. He knew, I got a bunch of men that I got to break down. Are you with me? I got to break them down. So he'd ask them questions along the way to see how they were doing and the process of receiving the revelation of what he wanted to do in their heart to make them servant leaders. Not leaders who are out for their own gain. Are you following me? And so in one of those moments, Jesus wants to know what's happening in the heart. So he asks the question, Peter, who do people say that I am? He goes, hey, some are saying John the Baptist. Some are saying Elijah or Jeremiah or you're one of the prophets. And he goes, okay, great. He goes, but who do you say that I am? The most important question you'll ever answer in life is who you say Jesus is. Who is Jesus to you? And in a moment, if you can imagine, Peter's put on the spot of going, all right, who do you say I am now, Peter? Because that's all that really matters. And in verse 17, Jesus asks him that question. Peter says that you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God. And he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. He says, and I tell you this, you are Peter, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Right there in Scripture, we see Jesus in a moment of revelation to Simon, changing his name to Peter. What does that mean? It means that God was doing a lot of things in his heart, but number one, he was changing his purpose. It was time for Simon to no longer be Simon, but to now be Peter. And with Peter, you would find a new purpose. We're in a season where God's not necessarily giving us a new purpose, because I don't believe any church on planet Earth has a new purpose other than going to the world and making disciples. That is our purpose as a church. And as part of the universal body of Christ, that is our purpose on planet Earth. So we don't have a new purpose. It was a new purpose for Peter at the time as he was establishing the purpose of our church. But for us, that vision can be renewed in our heart. And oh, how the world changes when that vision becomes renewed in our heart. When we get passionate about Christ and passionate about people who don't know him, I'm telling you, how do you think revival breaks out? Revival doesn't break out because all of a sudden one day we perfect the sound system and the way we do worship and the gathering on Sunday morning. That is not revival. Revival breaks out when we get the revelation in our heart that Jesus is the Messiah and that he cares about lost people, and it awakens us to the reality that we exist more than our own personal survival, but we are the church. The church of the living God, the called out ones, the sons and daughters of God, here to reveal the Father. And there's nothing more exciting to talk about than this good God who we serve. That's when revival begins to break out. And see, God's doing a new work in this church and in this city. And we have a chance to be a people to represent this good God. Oh, there's a story to tell. There's a story to tell. It's that God the Father is with us. We know him. We've experienced him. Hey, would you like to experience him too? I don't have answers to all the questions, but come on. He'll touch you. Don't worry. I had a lawyer friend in service one time, smarter than I'll ever be. More questions than I have answers. But we had a relationship, and I said, you know what? And he saw my life change. He said, you know, I got a lot of questions, but one thing I can't deny is, man, you're different than you used to be. Why that? I said, well, here's the only reason, because I met Jesus. I said, he came into my heart, and he changed my life. He goes, man, you used to be a knucklehead. You were this, this, and this. And I said, yeah, but I'm not that anymore, because I met Jesus. I said, come, come on, come on. And he sat right there where James sits. He sat there as an unbeliever. Did atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. Had professor parents who convinced him that God's not real. He believed in all the things that were the antithesis of Scripture. He sat there and God touched him. He got in worship, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit touched him. And he called me up a week later and he went, man, God's real. I said, well, how do you know that? He goes, man, I don't know. He just touched me. And he goes, I'm reading my Bible. He goes, I'm reading about Jesus. He goes, he's a pretty cool guy. I said, he is pretty cool. But I said, don't get too familiar with him because he's Lord. Called me up a month later. Hey, I'm getting baptized. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I never answered all his questions. I just trusted in the one to touch him. Peter gets the revelation that, hey, this is the Messiah. God says, all right, I'm giving you a new purpose. Then he says, I'm going to build something. I'm going to build my church. I'm giving you a new people. You know what's exciting to come to church on Sunday is because I'm meeting so many new people. After church last Sunday, I couldn't get away, not that I wanted to, because I was meeting so many new people, new relationships, new people. And we have to embrace that. You know that we are the only people or institution, if you want to use that word, that exists on planet Earth for its non-members? Huh? Realize that? We exist for the people who aren't even here yet. Do you think like that during the week? Or do we get reduced down to just thinking about our own personal lives? I don't want to live like that. Man, I got problems. I got needs. Are you with me? I'm trying to feed 3 boys. Are you with me? It gets you on your knees. But Matthew 6, Jesus taught, hey, look at the birds. God, they're always chirping with joy. They can't speak. They're not as smart as we are. But I tell you what, birds got a revelation. My Father in heaven provides. I mean, they got that revelation. Jesus, look at that word. Look at the birds. They might not have a lot, but they got a revelation that I'm their provider. And they're chirping. They're chirping with joy. I've never seen a grumpy bird except chasing a hawk when it's in his nest. He said, look at the grass of the field. Man, that's a nice color green, isn't it? Love the color green. That's a nice color green. Man, Father just provides one. Hey, how much more will the Father provide for you? How much more will he provide for you? But then he says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, God's just waiting for a people to say, look, I'm going to look beyond my own personal existence and look to help others. And when I find those people, just watch what I do. A new people. God wants to give us a new people. You know, when you discover your new people, how exciting and how fun it is? It's like, you know, company coming over every day, you know? It's like the doorbell's about to ring, the excitement. Ding dong, ding dong. Company's here, company's here. Kids are running around. They're here, they're here. That's what the church should be like. That's what it should be like. I described all the new relationships I discovered in life last week and just how when you discover a new relationship, you always get a new name with that. Pastor Charles, he got a new name when he met me. He calls me on the phone. We call each other probably 3-4 times a day when we're not together. He'll call me up and I'll answer the phone, and I know no one else does it. I go, "What's up, Pastor P, baby? What's up, Pastor P, baby?" He goes, "Hey, Ronnie, my brother." He goes, "I love you." And I go, "I'm glad you love me. Feed me. I'm hungry. Where are you feeding me today?" And he goes, "Come on, brother." But now Susan's got him on a no-carb diet. And so we're not having as much fun as we used to. Come on, Susan, get your man where you need him to be so we can start eating again. Y'all remember Michelle? Some of y'all might remember Michelle, college student. She was wonderful, just a lady who, when you got around her, you just had to give her a big hug, encourage her. After one sermon one Sunday, she came up to me and she went, "Pastor Ron, you're not Pastor Ron anymore." I said, "No." I said, "Well, who am I?" And she goes, "You're Pastor Ron, thebomb.com. I said, "I like that." So to her, I'm Pastor Ron, thebomb.com. New people, new relationships, new names. With that in Scripture, let's look here to Acts 13, verse 9. We'll pull it up on the screen behind us or in front of you. You read the book of Acts, and you read about this character named Saul. And Saul was a church persecutor, the chief church persecutor. He has an encounter on the Damascus Road with Jesus, and Jesus changes his life, and he goes from being the chief church persecutor to the chief church planter. Radical conversion. In fact, there had to be people that would kind of validate his conversion, going, "Yeah, Paul's really changed, man. We've seen him preaching the gospel. We've seen people coming to Christ." I mean, it was a radical, radical conversion. And when you read Acts, you read about Saul, then you get to Acts chapter 19, verse 13, chapter 13, verse 9, and all of a sudden, he's not called Saul anymore. He's called by his Latin name, Paul. Now, many think that God changed Saul's name to Paul at his conversion. That's not what happened. Paul was a Hebrew, and he had a Roman dad, so it was customary for that with his Roman citizenship for them to have dual names. But all his life, as far as we know in Scripture, he went by Saul. But all of a sudden, one day, he went by Paul. Now, maybe that was a little bit more user-friendly name because of the Gentiles that he was trying to reach. Paul means small. Maybe just one day he said, "I'm going to go by Paul now because I want to remind myself to keep myself in a place of humility, a posture of humility, of being the least of the apostles," as he referred to himself, though he was doing greater works than all of them, because he knew where his power and strength came from. It came from the Lord. But my point in all of this is, as you read Acts chapter 13, verse 9, it says, "Then Saul, who was also called Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit." See, when God comes and changes a name, he gives you a new purpose, or he renews your purpose. He gives you a new people and the excitement of discovering what these new people are all alike is worth the change and the inconvenience that they bring into your life. I love discovering Josiah, Ethan, and Noah, the new people, the new three sons that God brought to me over time. They crowd up my bathroom. But the discovery of the newness of who they are is greater than the inconvenience that they bring to my life. Way greater. And see, when God is doing something new, he gives us new power. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a new power that God wants to release on our lives. A new power. We are the go-to church. As we go and witness, as we go and talk about who Jesus is, a new power will begin to touch people's lives. It's never in our ability to articulate, though it's important that you study and become good in your apologetics to be able to defend the gospel or give a hope for for the reason that is in your heart of who Jesus is, absolutely important to study and show yourself approved as a workman who rightly divides the word and the scripture. That is important. But let me tell you, at the end of the day, Paul knew more than anybody else, but in his humility, he said, I don't rely on that. I rely on the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit to change people's lives. All we're called to do is to plant and water. God makes things grow. Pastor, why is your church growing? When people ask that, if any pastor, it's not the pastor's job to grow a church. It's Jesus' job to grow a church. It's the people's job to plant and water. It's our job. We plant, we water, we talk about who Christ is. We love, we sow. God brings the growth. God brings the increase. That's scripture. God says, if you'll believe, there'll be a new power on you today, a new name, a new power. Go to the world in that power. There's different seasons where the power of your name comes to the forefront of revelation. You're Peter. You're Peter now. You're Paul. You're somebody different. Or you understand, man, I know now who I am in Christ and I walk different. I'm not a sinner, I'm a saint. I'm not a slave to unrighteousness anymore. I'm a son of God. You begin to walk different. My middle son, Ethan, grew up behind a dominating older big brother. You with me? Who just loves to dominate his little brothers. And he learned very quick how to be defeated because he could never win. And so I had to work extra hard as the father to build him up. Ethan, my man, Ethan, you're great. Ethan, just, man, building him up. This year, that revelation kicked in. And on his team, a strapping 78 pounds. You know what he's called on his team? Big E. And that little bird chest, he walks with it out now when he steps on the... He's Big E. You know, like Big E your fries or Big E your drink? I say, E, Big E that bat. Get up there and you're Big E. You can do it. He thinks he can conquer the world. He doesn't know any better. There was a play at the plate and the catcher was in front of him. He's Big E. He tried to run over him. You know what happened? The catcher didn't even know he was there. He bounced off that catcher. I can't even describe what it looked like, how he got up and he was all mad, but he's Big E. Like, he ain't that big. Go around him and slide next time, you know? New name means new purpose, renewed purpose. It means new people. It means a new power. Number four here, as we look in Genesis, chapter 35, 9 through 15. God comes to Jacob. Jacob was rightly named supplanter. A deceiver in life. And God comes to him and reminds him that he's a God of covenant. And reminds him of the blessing that he promised his grandfather Abraham. And that he was a part of it. And now it was time to no longer walk as Jacob, but it was time to mature. It was time to grow up. It was time to be all that he was destined to be. Your name now is going to be Israel, the one who perseveres with God. And out of that, in this name change, he says, you're going to be Israel. And he said, I am God Almighty. Are you with me? I am God Almighty. Hello, Israel. I am God Almighty. I'm the God who will be everything I need to be for my people. Be fruitful, increase in number. A nation and community of nations will come from you. Kings will be among your descendants. I believe that. From us right here. Nations come from us. Kings come from us right here in this room. Are you with me? Other churches come from us right here. The kingdom advances from us right here. You will increase. It is our destiny to increase. When God begins to change a name, he talks to him in a different way, more intimate, more personal. And the Fourth thing, he says, there's going to be a new productivity on your life. You ready? You ready for that? You ready to produce? You sure? You ready for the inconvenience? Huh? You ready to be cramped? You ready to not sit where you always sit? Sure? You ready to step out of your routine during the week and all the people that God's brought in your sphere of influence? You ready to talk to? You're going to increase a new productivity. And the last one, we see in Genesis chapter 17, 1 through 8. God comes to Abram at the time and says, look, you're not going to be Abram anymore, just a father. And I've got something bigger for you than just one son. You're Abraham. You're going to be father of the nation. You know, no matter what generation you find yourself in the room, I think there's one thing that's common in this coming together. You've been faithful to serve the Lord. God's proud of you. Proud of you. And you found favor. God is the God of favor. Pastor Charles started this God is with the Father of favor. Revelation. We found favor with the Lord for whatever reason. We didn't deserve it, didn't earn it. Not because we're better than anybody else. God just said, look, here's my favor. Here's my favor. You're going to be a father of many nations. You're going to increase. And then he tells them this. He says, the whole land of Canaan, in verse 8, where you reside as a foreigner, I'll give you as everlasting possession to you and the descendants after you. And I'll be your God. This thing right there. New possession. It's time for us to possess. To not be wanderers, to not be renters, but to come together, power and strength. Purpose of God is to possess. We're going to possess the land in this city. We're going to increase. Abraham would have to wait many years for the promise of that to be fulfilled. In fact, he's still waiting because as part of his descendants today, we're still increasing in the land. But that revelation becomes new when God changes a name. For us to remember, it's our destiny to increase. Prosper, to possess. When God comes to change a name, he comes and he renews the purpose. He gives new people to accomplish that purpose. In that, he says, remember, I'm God Almighty. I'll give you new power, my power, to do what it is I've called you to do. You're going to produce. You're going to increase. What you've been putting your hands to, you might not have seen fruition, but it's coming. Be ready. Don't grow weary. See, we come to seasons and we feel like, man, we're at the end of the season. I'm giving up. I'm quitting. I'm going somewhere else. I'm doing something else. And that's how you're supposed to feel at that moment because you're done at that moment. Are you with me? When am I the most tired? At the end of my workout, not the beginning, because I'm done. It's time to step into something new. That's why he says, don't lose heart. Don't grow weary, because right when we give up, or run away, or shrink back, that's when God comes in and says, okay, you've come to the end of yourself. You're tired and weary, but you've been faithful. Now I renew your strength. You're going to walk and not grow weary now. You're going to rise up with wings like eagle. I mean, can't you see it on me? I've been in this for 15 years, man. I was like, am I done? Is it over? And God says, no, it's time to be renewed. I'm not done with you. I'm like, you sure, God? I'll do whatever. He said, no, I'm not done with you. Be renewed. I can't explain it. I don't get any sleep. I sleep about 4 hours a day now. That's about all I sleep. But I'm crazy. I'm dressing crazy. I'm preaching crazy. I got energy that's crazy. There's a renewed strength. There's wind under the wings. Are you with me? Don't grow weary. Can I show you our logo and how we want to use it? How's that for a transition? Let me show you some of the different ways we want to use it, and I'll be done here. I want to pray for you, too. Is that okay? Some of the different ways we want to use it. Go to church. Give me the next one. What's the next one, Demetrius? Go Go to groups. These will be our life groups. Don't forsake the gathering together. Big things happen in small groups. How do we make disciples in our go-to groups? We're going to go to FSU, ENC. We're going to go to FAMU. We're going to TCC. We're not going to look down upon the young, but we're going to have them set an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, 1 Timothy 4:12. We're going to the campuses for a new harvest. There's a go-to generation. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. Come on. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Are you with me? Come on, who wants to be a go-to guy? I'm going to be a go-to guy in this church. Many claim an unfailing love, but a faithful man, who can find? Proverbs 26. How about a go-to girl? Paul reminded Timothy, I'm reminded of the sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother and in your mother also. How about that? How about we're going 2 miles? We're going to go 2 miles. We're the people who go 2 miles. We serve others. We care. We don't just go one. We go 2 miles. Are you with me? How about this? We go too strong. We go in strength. Be strong and courageous in the Lord. Come on. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. What else? We go to battle. Psalm 110:3 says your troops will be willing in the day of battle. Come on. Are you willing, church, to go? We go to Jesus. Come, all who are weary and burdened. He'll give you rest. We go to God. My heart says, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Psalm 27:8. We have go-to teams where everyone serves on our impact teams that make impact, our go-to teams. And as you do that, God's grace is administered, it says in 1 Peter 4:10, in its various forms. We're going to take people to grace. Go to grace. It's for grace that we are saved through faith. We need grace in our lives, the grace of God. Are you with me? Come on, go to heaven. We're pointing people to heaven. Go to heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who deal the will of my Father. We want people to go to heaven with us, don't we? The Father's house has many rooms. He wants them there with us. We got different holidays. Let's look at the different holidays. We'll go to church. St. Patrick's Day. Don't we have one coming up next weekend? 4th of July. Come on, go to run. Run, Ronnie, run. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way to win the prize. Come on, go to run. Go to mercy. Blessed are the merciful. They'll be shown mercy. We need forgiveness, don't we? Go to forgive. As you forgive, the Heavenly Father will forgive you. Come on, go to peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. Come on, go to serve. We're serving people. Go to give. Next one, go to give. We want to be a generous people, excelling in the grace of giving. Go to pray, 1 Thessalonians 1:17. Pray without ceasing. Come on, great. We want to go to great. We want to be great for Jesus, don't we? Psalm 18:35. You make me a saving help, my shield. Your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great, the scripture says. Go to worship. We worship him with gladness. We come before him with joyful songs. Go to victory. Go to win. Keep going. I can keep reading. Go to serve. We go to conquer. In Romans 8:27, we're more than conquerors, the scripture tells us, right? We got to go to war. We got to go to battle, right? Go to battle. Go to war. Come on. We put on the armor of God every day. We go to reconcile. We're the ambassadors of Christ going to reconcile in the world. Faith, you go to faith. We are people of faith. Come on, go to faith. Go to hope. I was believing. Go to hope, right? Go to love. Come on, hope, anchor for the soul. We go to love, right? Go to life. We are people of life. We fight for life. Go to life. And we're missional people. As an example, we could go to South Africa as whatever. We had to do this for Betty Odd Creel. And then to have a little fun, I got a scripture for this. Go to loo. Go to loo. No longer go to the restroom, but go to loo. There's a scripture for that. 1 Samuel 24:3. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went to relieve himself. Is that it? And then, is there any other one? What's the last one? Is there a last one? All the different ways that God just wants to brand us as a people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. I want to pray for you this morning. If you just say, God's doing a new work in my heart, I want you to raise your hand. I just want to receive. Why don't we stand up together and just embrace what God is doing. What is our strength, people? What is our strength? The what is our strength? The joy of the Lord is our strength, isn't it? Lift your hands with me. Lord, renew our passion, our joy, our excitement for you. Lord, I'm not talking about excitement for a church. I'm talking about excitement for you, Jesus. Lord, the church is not a gathering on Sunday morning. It's a people. Lord, an excitement for you. We remember why we are here. We're to go to the world. Lord, I just pray for all with their hands lifted. Just that, Lord, the renewing of your spirit in their hearts. The renewing of mission. The renewing of power. Lord, the reminding. Just as you had to do with Jacob, changing him to Israel. Nope, you're part of a covenant. You can't get away from it. You old supplanter. You've tried to, you know, do it in your own strength, your own way, or things have been difficult or tough. Nope, here I am. I'm the God Almighty. My covenant stands firm. Lord, I thank you for your people. New productivity, new possession, Lord. Thank you for new jobs, Lord. New jobs, Lord, we thank you for just increase, Lord. Those we've been praying for, those we've been witnessing to, we thank you for, Lord, their hearts opening up, taking that next step to Jesus, Lord. We thank you for that in this season, Lord. We thank you for it. And I want to pray for you. Everybody else, put your hands down, stay standing. I want to pray for you. If you say, I'm making a new commitment to my Lord this morning, getting my life right. I'm in sin. I need to get right with Jesus Christ. I want you to raise your hand this morning. I want you to raise your hand. Say, I'm getting right now with Jesus. I'm repenting of my sin, and I'm coming in right relationship with him. Real quick, come forward. I want to pray for you real quick. If you're raising your hand, I want to pray for you real quick. Real quick. Life group leaders, if you would, just come forward. Just significant time, significant moment. You know, right now, this is the moment. God's saying, I remember when I was 21, God said, nope, you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. Lord, I thank you for new salvations. Lord, we just pray, Father. Say it with me. Say, Lord, I repent of my sins. Say it with me. Lord, I just repent of my sins. I ask for your forgiveness. Lord, I receive your grace, gratitude. And I put my faith in you to be my Lord and Savior. Lord, I make a commitment today to walk with you. Help me to do it well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Y'all can just kind of stay up here and with some of our leaders here and just continue to pray with them. Can we give the Lord just a hand clap for how awesome he is? Love you so much. And Pastor Charles, anything else? Good to go? God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Give somebody a high five.